Welcome to Idaho Speaks, Idaho's conservative talk show. My name is Ed Bejarano. I created Idaho Speaks to give voters access to conservative ideas. Liberal media and progressive activists are working hard to change Idaho into the next California or New York. Please share these episodes with friends and family, and let's keep Idaho, Idaho. Today's episode is brought to you by my friends over at Farmhouse Sweets and Eats, Coeur d'Alene's newest farm fresh food truck and catering service. They serve the tastiest food to tantalize your appetite. Food truck is located at 7777 Heartland Drive off of Prairie Drive. Farmhouse Sweets and Eats, serving up local and fresh home style grub. You got an event coming up, you need a catering service, Farmhouse Sweets and Eats is your go-to company. Mention that you heard about their spot on Idaho Speaks and receive a discount on your order. Farmhouse Sweets and Eats, the place to get the grub. Welcome to Idaho Speaks. Today's episode is another first in the new Idaho Speaks news magazine format. I should explain a little more about why we're making these changes. Last week, I talked about how some politicians are avoiding coming into the studio to sit for a long-form interview. Some candidates are discouraged by the likes of Sandy Pitano with North Idaho Republicans for fear that her candidate's words will be twisted. Notice how Sandy is concerned about, quote, her candidates. I thought representatives represented all the voters. But I digress. Sandy's group is not the only group discouraging candidates they financially support from coming on programs like Idaho Speaks. I'm naming Sandy because for a year, I've tried to sit one-on-one with my fellow Rotarian and friend to figure out why she distrusts the show and what we could do to allay her fears. For a year, Sandy Pitano has refused to try and build a bridge. So I am now naming names so you, the voter, know firsthand the dirty politics that take place behind the scene. Idaho Speaks is a conservative talk show that welcomes all registered Republicans on the air for fair treatment and open mic access to the voters. Since there are people in our state trying to censor candidates from talking to you, the Idaho voter, Idaho Speaks will now reach out in a short-form interview format using a news magazine editing style to publish the words and ideas of elected representatives and responses from voters throughout the state. No more will we be stymied by the likes of Sandy Pitano of our state. No more will you have to rely on the biased reporting of local newspapers to hear what elected leaders are trying to accomplish. You will hear directly from the elected leader. We will work the phones and schedule short 5 and 10 minute interviews with every Republican elected leader in the state legislature. We'll also reach out to elected people on city councils, school boards, water boards, highway districts, and county offices. You will get to hear from elected leaders in their own words. Today, I talk with four freshman Idaho state legislators, Representative Elaine Price, Representative Joe Alfieri, Senator Scott Herndon, and Senator Ben Taves. Each 5 to 7 minute interview runs back to back and is time noted in the show notes. I've also included their contact information so you too can call or email them with your questions. Lastly, and then we'll get to the elected leaders, if you have questions you would like Idaho Speaks to ask of our elected leaders, email your questions to hello@idahospeaks.com. With me on the phone today, I have Elaine Price. Elaine, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us. So, Is it Legislator Price? Is it Congresswoman Price? How do we refer to you folks?
That has been something I've had to get used to. It's Representative Price.
Representative Price. Well, congratulations. Thank you for your service. Let me start there. And then, of course, a Happy New Year.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk to my constituents.
Absolutely. No, and your constituents love to hear from you. So your first week in office, how did it go? How was your first week in the Idaho legislature?
You know, it's been, I have enjoyed it, actually. You know, you start off and you're a little lost, but really have kind of gotten into some sort of stride. We haven't done a whole lot committee-wise because some of our committees haven't met yet. So that has kind of made getting into some sort of stride a little bit easier. Next week, I think, is going to be a little bit more challenging because all the committees are going to meet. So I found it enjoyable so far.
Well, you know, and I know that we're going to talk several times through the legislative session. So I'll save some of the questions to how the committees have been operating and so forth. But getting into and through orientation and now through the first week, what has surprised you the most?
It has seemed a little chaotic at times that I didn't expect. I guess I thought with as many sessions as we've had that they would have things kind of down to a science, and I'm finding that that's not the case. Lack of communication on when we need to be here and what we can expect. We thought that we were going to get like a procession as part of the ball. And we thought for sure that we would get to have a walkthrough with that. And that's not the way it was done at all. So the freshmen are kind of walking around with the deer in the headlight look.
Sure. And there's a lot of freshmen. So this is a big freshman class.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, going forward, what issue or what topic gives you kind of the most energy as you look at this first legislative session?
Well, I'm excited that there's talk about education savings accounts and making them universal. There's talk from the executive branch that they don't want universal, and talking to the other legislators, the majority seems like they want it to be universal. So I think that that's exciting that we're going to put parents in charge of their kids' education and protecting our children in the libraries. And I've had some good conversations about that as well.
Excellent. And those are important topics. Those are topics that you ran on that your constituents are very, very interested in. So yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Now the governor gave his state of the state address. What kind of popped out from that presentation that kind of sticks in your mind as that's something to work on in the legislative process?
Well, I guess my biggest thing that I took from that is there was no talk of where the funds were coming from, or at least not specifically that I could say there's a lot of spending and where is that money coming from to pay for all the spending that he suggested. And I'm finding after the fact that it sounds like the money that we set aside for education in the special session, and that's where some of the money was coming from. But I guess that's the biggest thing I pulled from his speech is that I want to know how all this stuff is going to get paid for.
Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share with the listener?
I really feel honored to be down here, feel honored to be part of this process, and absolutely commit that I will be North Idaho's voice down here in Boise.
Well, we're very proud of you, Elaine. Thank you so much for all you're doing. Wish you the best of luck and look forward to having you back up here in Northern Idaho.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
With me on the phone, I have Representative Joe Alfieri. Joe, thank you so much for taking time to talk with Idaho Speaks today.
It's my pleasure, Ed. Thanks for having me.
So, Joe, first off, thank you so much for what you're doing, your service to your community and country. is stellar. Happy New Year. Appreciate it. How was your first week in the Idaho legislature?
Well, it was exciting and it was fast paced. Things move along at quite a clip here, usually, and then sometimes they come to a complete stop where nothing happens. So it was sort of an up and down week. So I enjoyed the procedure. I'm very honored to be down here serving the people.
No, and we appreciate it. So what surprised you the most?
I think what surprised me the most was how organized and disorganized we are at the same time. And I'll give you an example of that. One of my major issues is election integrity. And I campaign very heavily on that. And I'm happy to be on the State Affairs Committee, where we'll address that issue. So I was happy to see that, we can move that issue through State Affairs. But I was also surprised to learn that there are so many different people working on similar legislation and no coordination of efforts. I've made an effort to reach out on my own and spoken to several legislators who are working on similar bills so that we can at least be on the same page, if not put the bills together so that we can run one or two bills rather than seven or eight.
What issue gives you the most energy?
Well, again, election integrity, that's still my number one issue. It gives me the energy because it's something that I've been concerned about for a couple of years now. But it also gives me the energy because I see movements on it. I'm seeing a lot of agreement from fellow legislators that we do need to do something, and they recognize the problems. And the question is, how do we go about fixing those problems? But I think we're going to get some things done in the next few weeks. I think we're going to be able to move move the ball forward on voter ID and on absentee ballots and some other areas.
Yeah, from a standpoint of there's a lot of freshman legislators. How's the feeling in the building with regards to there being so many new faces?
There's a lot of energy, but there is a lot of skepticism, I think, on the part of some of the old timers about whether we're going to be able to get anything done because there are so many new people. It is a concern. And I did hear from someone the other night, and he said that he has never seen the legislature move as slowly as this one has. And the suspicion is that some people are holding their cards close to the chest until they can see how people stand on certain issues before they start moving things forward.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. That's the side of politics that most citizens never see.
It's a concern of mine because you've known me now for a while, so I don't hold anything back. Everything's on my sleeve, so it's not. So it's a little different for me to have people who will only tell you part of the story.
Well, and I know you as a man of action, so I would imagine the hurry up and wait is also frustrating.
The patience thing is very difficult. Yeah.
So the governor did his State of the State address. What were your biggest takeaways from that?
Well, it's very similar to what he has said before. His big issue is education, which is okay. His solutions, I don't think, are necessarily the best solutions. I don't think that throwing another $8,500 into the pool of money to be used in post-education is necessarily the answer. It may be an answer. It may be part of an answer. But I think what we've seen in the past that what happens when we offer more money to institutions of higher learning, the cost goes up. So we're not really buying anything. All we're doing is we're increasing the cost of higher education. I think I get the intent. The intent is to give students a leg up so that they can get started in their secondary education. But it's like student loan programs. We know that student loan programs only increase the cost of education.
Right.
So, I don't think it's necessarily the answer.
Interesting. So you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with the listeners?
Well, the final thoughts are, I'm getting a lot of email, and I've had a couple of phone calls, and I welcome that. I think all of us welcome that. I think we need to be able to stay connected to the community. We are, we're several hundred miles away from Coeur d'Alene, and we're sequestered for 3 months. So it might be very easy for us to lose contact with constituents. So that's something that has been a concern of mine in the past. So I welcome the feedback.
Well, and we look forward to having you on Idaho Speaks several times during this legislative session. So
absolutely.
Joe, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks a lot, Ed.
So with me on the phone, I have Senator Scott Herndon. Scott, thank you so much for taking time to talk to Idaho Speaks today.
You're welcome, Ed. It's my pleasure.
So let's just dive right into it. How was your first week in the Idaho Senate?
Relatively busy, especially for me, because I have about 14 bills that I already have ready to be put before committees. So I've had to basically finalize those, get what's called the statement of purpose done, and get them actually sit down with committee chairman and help them understand what the bill does, and then put it in the process of getting scheduled before their committee. So that was pretty busy. And then I also am on the, every time I see it in the news, it's always called the Powerful Budget Setting Committee. It's the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee. And while a lot of committees haven't been working this week, we have. So we've been meeting 2 to 3 hours every morning so far, and we'll continue to do that throughout the session.
Wow. Well, you know, and I greatly appreciate your service to the community. In this process, I mean, through the orientation and getting to this point after the conclusion of your first week, what has surprised you the most?
Well, fortunately, I have an answer to that, but I'll say I was prepared for the legislative process because I have participated as a citizen in it now for several years. So I know how the place works, and I know what it takes to go round up support, identify your arguments, gather your talking points. We haven't had to present before committee yet, but I know what that looks like because I've done it before. I've had a couple of bills signed into law as a citizen, and so that part, nothing mysterious about that. The biggest surprise this week is the state of the state address, and that our governor, to me, sounded very much like a Democrat. He was indistinguishable from a Democrat. I didn't hear him talk about any conservative principles. And in fact, now that we've been looking at his budget, we see that he's planning to spend all of the $1.5 billion surplus that the state of Idaho has currently over-collected from taxpayers.
Yeah, you know, and I was going to ask you a question about the governor's state of the state, but I guess that's kind of your view on the state of the state address.
I took notes. I carefully documented what his plans are, and public education was at the top of them, and infrastructure projects, and paying for all of that development and infrastructure. And as I was adding it up, and now that I've looked at it in JFAC, I see that this is a major spending plan and fully status quo. I'm sure the Democrats around the state are very happy at this moment.
Wow. So what issue gives you the most energy as you go into this session?
Oh, there's so many. I'll tell you a couple of three of our major ones. These are the ones that really drive people politically, because this goes to where our culture is. So there's certainly, believe it or not, even with Democrats, there's probably 80% of things we're going to agree on here at the state capitol, generally speaking. A lot of stuff is relatively routine, nothing significant, nothing major, nothing that rocks people's boats. The Republicans probably agree on 90% of the stuff, but here's the subjects that really energize voters and stuff that we've got to take on in state law. And number one is my Stand Your Ground legislation. We're going to enhance Idaho's Stand Your Ground law. Right now it's pretty good, but we've seen a couple of situations the last couple of years around the country with Mark McCloskey in St. Louis, Missouri, when he and his wife were outside of their home in their neighborhood when BLM protesters came through, and Mark and his wife were armed. Mark got charged with a felony and pleaded to a misdemeanor. In the, whether you agree or not with Mark, in the use, the lawful use of force, you're covered. But what if you only threaten to use force in a lawful manner? Our law is not explicit on that point, and you could get prosecuted. And then the Stand Your Ground law will also give a defendant, if they do get prosecuted, the opportunity to get a quick hearing before a judge and require the state to provide some compelling evidence, clear and convincing evidence, to continue to prosecute them. And then if the state, if you have a malicious prosecutor and it costs a lawful defendant a lot of time and money, we're going to give them a path to recoup their costs. So that's our Stand Your Ground enhancement. Really looking forward to seeing that move through the legislature. We've got a lot of co-sponsors signing on to that, and that's one where we're going to want citizens to participate in the process and let us know that you support this kind of legislation. Then we've got two changes to our abortion law. Our abortion is currently banned in the state for the most part. It's not an equal protection law at the moment. Right now, it contains a rape and incest exception. So if the child was conceived by an alleged rape or incestuous relationship, alleged, then that child may be killed according to our current abortion ban. We want to eliminate that exception because we believe there's inherent value in human life, and a child should not be put to death for the alleged crime of its father. And so I'm hoping to see some progress on that. And finally, I'll move to another subject, and it is the gender dysphoria that's dominating the culture right now. And we've got a couple of issues around the state. We've got school districts being pushed by school board, not school boards, but I don't remember who the driver is, but it's a statewide organization that's pushing on school districts to accommodate basically men and boys and girls' locker rooms and bathrooms, and we want to stop that from happening in state policy. So we'll have a bill about that. And we'll have a bill on this similar subject, same subject as it relates to public works contractors. We had a situation in my county, Bonner County, where a guy bidding on a solid waste project looks at Bonner County's contract, and it says that he has to allow men into women's restrooms. And that was part of the contract. Where did that come from? So we want to block that. That's just moral insanity that seems to pervade the culture at the moment. Those are just a few of the things I'm doing, but those are certainly going to be some of the interesting things that we take on this session.
Well, and what I'm going to do then is, you know, with the Stand Your Ground law enhancements, abortion law improvements, and gender dysphoria topics, I'm going to take that to the voters of Idaho Speaks and start asking some questions and getting their input so that you can hear them firsthand. Those are fantastic bills to present. So do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yes, I do. I would like to ask listeners to pay attention to some of our best legislators this year. Sign up for their email newsletters, mine included. Go to HerndonForIdaho.com to do that, HerndonForIdaho.com. And once you get to that homepage, wait 7 seconds, a pop-up box appears. Give me your name and email address. You'll be on my newsletter so that you can stay in direct contact with our best conservative legislators. We have a lot of them this year. I'm active on Twitter and Facebook. Stay engaged with me so that you know what's going on, so that if we do need your active involvement, it really helps. We may need you to make phone calls and write emails. By the way, phone calls are one of the best things you can do. And if we have listeners that are ever in the Capitol, as some of this legislation is moving through the system, going to meet your representatives and senators and ask them to support the legislation is highly effective. And so I very much encourage people to do that.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for your commitment to state and community, your willingness to really put your life on hold and go down to Boise and represent us. And we look forward to having you back on the program several times during this legislative session.
I look forward to that as well, Ed. I appreciate your having me on the program this time.
Excellent. You have a great day, sir.
You too.
With me on the phone, I have Senator Ben Taves. Ben, thank you so much for taking time to talk with Idaho Speaks.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just dive right in. How was your first week in the Idaho Senate?
Well, it's been really great, honestly. There's obviously a lot to learn, but there's also a lot to get done. So I've been diving in, and it's a great group down here working together. It's been, I don't know, it's a learning experience for sure, and sometimes you're having to figure things out as you go, but it's definitely something I enjoy.
So as you've gone through the orientation process and getting through this first week, what has surprised you the most?
What comes to mind first is a conversation I had today about a bill that I'm working on voter identification. And the person I was talking with, they explained to me that people will sometimes they'll actually vote against legislation they believe in, depending on whether or not they like the individual that's presenting it. And that's just hard for me to fathom that I would vote against something that I believe in at all. So that's what surprises me the most, I guess, is I want to just represent my constituents, and I want to, always vote for what I believe in and not play politics so much that I would sacrifice, I think, my integrity by doing that.
You know, and that's such an interesting point. I mean, we hear people complain so much about the divisive political arena, and mm-hmm. and here is a situation where it's an issue that they agree on, but just because they don't like you, they're going to vote against it. That just doesn't make any sense. That would surprise me too.
Yeah.
So now going forward, what issue gives you the most energy?
I'm the most excited about education savings accounts and the impact that they could have on really giving parents the ability to get the best education for their students' individual needs, their child's individual needs. So I'm definitely going to be co-sponsoring at least one piece of legislation that would work on that. We're having a town hall tonight, actually, in the Lincoln Auditorium down here to present a bill. And so that, I think it can make a big difference. I was really happy when I got the vice chair of education position, because I feel like I can have more of a chance to have an influence over whether or not that could become a reality.
Well, and that was a huge issue that you ran on. So
yes.
I'm very happy to hear that you're heavily involved in education. So let's jump over to the governor's State of the State address. What kind of popped out from that presentation to you?
Well, he's definitely passionate about education. He made that clear. And he, unfortunately, I don't know if what the way that we would approach education and some of the, I'd say, some improvements that need to be made. I don't know if we match on that, but I'd say at least I agree with him that education is really important and that we should need to take a look at it. I would tend to disagree with him. It seems like there's a lot of spending and a lot of expansion, and government expansion is something that I ran on slowing down or stopping. So I guess that was my first thought as I listened to him, was it just seemed like there's new programs and new ways to spend money.
Yeah. And, you know, Ben, we really appreciate you, really putting life on hold and going down to Boise and representing us. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share with the listener?
I guess maybe letting everyone know that there's a lot of good people down here working really hard. And I'm really hopeful. I've been told by some that have been here longer that you come in kind of optimistic and then you get jaded, but I'm gonna stick with my optimistic outlook, and I'm really hopeful that we'll make a big difference this session.
Well, and knowing you as I do, I can't see you becoming jaded. You just seem like a happy-go-lucky guy.
So, well, thank you.
So, Ben, I really appreciate your service. Thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Great talking with you. Thank you.
So there you have it. Elaine Jones, Scott, and Ben, all fully engaged and open about their ideas. You know, after talking with these freshman leaders, I'm excited about our future. They each expressed a hopefulness and a clear vision. As stated directly by Scott and indirectly by all of them, it is up to you and I to keep our elected representatives grounded and connected to their constituents. If you don't already have a Twitter account, now is a good time to sign up for one so you can stay in contact with what our elected leaders are doing. Also, follow Idaho Speaks on Twitter, as we are shutting down our Facebook page starting February 1st. Lastly, this type of news magazine format needs financial assistance. If you're able to contribute a few dollars, please visit idahospeaks.com and click on the Support the Show button. $3 a month from a lot of people goes a long ways to allowing us to reach out across our state and bring you the actual words from elected leaders. Thank you for your support over the last 2 years as Idaho Speaks got off the ground. I'm looking forward to the next several years, and you and I together keep Idaho conservative. We've reached the end of the episode, but not the end of the issue. Please share this episode with your friends and family. If you have questions or would like to share your own issues and ideas, visit www.idahospeaks.com and click Share an Issue. Your state, your voice, Idaho Speaks.